and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Siebel. And today, I know we've just finished with the holidays, and we're probably feeling like we're going to waddle, 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 but we're going to be talking about food. Yes, we're going to be talking about food today, and it's bread. How about you? Do you really enjoy it? Well, what if you have an intolerance to gluten, to wheat, and to some other things? Maybe you've got a challenge with dairy products. Well, we have got a delightful lady, Lori Sadowski, who's with us today. She's written a beautiful book. It's just really nicely done. The Allergy-Free Cook Bakes Bread. It's gluten-free, dairy-free, and egg-free. Yeah, is that possible? You betcha. Hi, Lori. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, Laura, you live in Ontario, Canada, and you are very much involved in nutrition and wellness, which I think is a great way to start off a brand new year. And you got involved with very different ways of cooking than most of us are raised with because you really were having a challenge physically. Tell us your story.
About 6 years ago, I started feeling very ill. I couldn't really pinpoint what was wrong. I started losing weight. I was feeling very lethargic all the time. I was having a lot of gastrointestinal problems, and I couldn't really figure out why. And back then, celiac disease wasn't very well known, and not as much as it is now by far. And I saw, you know, a whole slew of doctors. I had tons of blood work. I kept losing weight. I had a battery of tests done, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong until I eventually was diagnosed with celiac. But it wasn't until then, and I had already lost 60 pounds, that...
Ooh, 60 pounds!
Yeah, it was pretty intense. I was... I'm not very tall. I'm 5'7" and a half, and so I weighed in at about 80 pounds myself. And you know, you can't function much at 80 pounds unless you're a kid.
No kidding.
And it was just one of those things where it wasn't very well known of what could possibly be wrong. But as soon as I was diagnosed and I went gluten free immediately, I started feeling better. I started gaining weight back. Like it was almost impressive. Like you don't really maybe believe it unless you were to see it, about how fast the response is. And I mean, of course, some things took a while because I had been so sick, but just even like weight gain and energy and stuff like that, it came back pretty quickly. And then it leveled off for a bit, and then took a while to feel much better. But yeah, and it definitely taught me that I needed to learn to cook.
Well, and that's, in fact, you entered a contest, and the only reason you didn't get first prize is because lobster beat you. So
yeah.
I remember that in your book. And what I wanted to bring out, though, was a fact that you have in your book. Now, celiac has to do with the gut, the digestive process.
Yes.
What's going on that would cause the body to think it was starving for you to lose that much weight? You were literally starving to death. Am I correct?
Yeah. Basically, your gluten acts like poison in your body. That's sort of the easiest way to say it. So it does damage to the intestines and things inside the intestines. We have villi, which are like finger-like projections
mm-hmm.
that come out of our intestinal wall. So when gluten damages those, for some celiacs, they're completely flattened. Others are just damaged on the tips, or then we can't absorb, you know, nutrients and stuff like that, and food and stuff just goes right through us. So when people have like a misdiagnosis or aren't diagnosed right away, or, you know, some people are in their, like, you know, 50s or 60s and diagnosed, I can only imagine what their bodies have gone through. It acts like poison, it damages those, and then you're pretty much malnourished. So you need to make sure that when you can eat, when you figure out what you can have and what's okay with you, then that you do everything in your power to make sure you're getting all those healthy ingredients back in and not just eating things that are gluten-free because they, you know, a lot of candy is gluten-free, but that's certainly not going to heal your intestines.
Right. And one of the things that you bring out in this wonderful cookbook, and it is a beautiful cookbook, you've just got so much terrific stuff in it. It's very nicely put together.
Thank you.
Is that many, many people that have celiac are not just gluten intolerant, but also they can be lactose intolerant and or have other sensitivities, which would make sense to me. Because if you are that sensitive, let's say, to lactose or to gluten, then things just seem to compound because so much of what we have in everyday environments, it's loaded with wheat, it's loaded with dairy, and I don't have a problem with it, but I know of one man that went to the hospital, they thought he was having a heart attack, and it was diverticulitis, and that it had to do with his diet. And he had to change his dietary patterns. So this is something that I think is very important because so many people today, I was talking with a member of our family who was discussing how when they were growing up, they didn't have any problems with any of these foods, but their grandchildren are having trouble with it. And it's a very interesting phenomenon. Did anybody else in your family have this kind of patterning at all that you know of?
Well, there's definitely, from what I understand, there's definitely connections among autoimmune disorders and autoimmune diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So only one other person in my family was even tested for celiac. No one else was tested. But every single person on my mom's side of the family has some sort of autoimmune disease. And I don't doubt that there's definitely an underlying connection there.
Mm-hmm. Because there's an inflammation that occurs, yes.
Well, and even so, I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard of the MS recovery diet, but some members of my family have multiple sclerosis, and there was a book written about, eliminating gluten, dairy, eggs, soy, legumes, yeast, and lots of caffeine or refined sugar and red meat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty restrictive, but eliminating those and people who've went on it have sworn their MS symptoms have gone away.
Mm-hmm.
And although my mom has been following it because her philosophy is, you know, what does she have to lose? She's not sure if it's the combination of everything or one of those items or what it is, but she's definitely noticed a difference. So I definitely think that there's some sort of connection, you know, along inflammation and autoimmune
in the family.
And, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a fascinating thing. Now, one of the things that you talk about in your cookbook, because when someone has a celiac, you have to be very thoughtful about cross-contamination.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think many of us, because if we're able to handle most foods, we don't give it a second thought.
Right.
But the cross-contamination is something that can be very devastating for someone that has celiac. And you say that someone should designate a gluten-free zone in the kitchen or pantry because there may be family members, they don't have a problem at all. And the individual might. So if you have your stuff in a particular place, in a particular area, then that's your zone. And that's a good way to make sure that you don't accidentally get into something else, correct?
Yeah, it's definitely good to take precautions. I mean, it isn't really too difficult to keep things segregated, so you might as well, because there's no point in taking the risk since you can get so sick from it, especially if you have children, right? Like if it's your kids with celiac or a food allergy, you definitely don't want them to, you know, unknowingly grab a snack that shouldn't be theirs or something like that, because they might not know the difference, as opposed to an adult who can at least be able to tell the difference between two things.
Mm-hmm. And you make a comment that I don't think many people are aware of, and that is that gluten is a popular ingredient in many vegetarian foods, the veggie burgers, meatless hot dogs, and other meat alternatives. So if someone has this sensitivity, they need to read those labels pretty carefully.
Mm-hmm. A lot of I'd say most of the fake meats and the meat analogs, most of them do have gluten. There's very few that I can think of that don't, because I myself am a vegan, and I was always eating a lot of this stuff growing up anyway. I liked it better. I didn't really like, you know, real hot dogs. I liked the veggie dogs. And then when I was diagnosed, I thought, well, I got to give them all up. And especially being in Canada, there's very few, I don't even think there's one veggie burger that doesn't have gluten in it here that I can think of. So it was another reason to learn how to cook.
Now, let's talk about some of the ingredients that you can use. One of them, and this was something that was new to me a couple of years ago, xanthan gum. And you can get through this through, you can find it in your grocery store now. It's put out by Bob's Red Mill. There's just so many ways you can get it. And any health food store usually has it. But it's made from corn.
Yeah.
And that's something that if people don't want to have corn products, then you have to use gar gum, G-U-A-R gum, which is made from legumes. And you say gar gum can be substituted for xanthan gum, but you have to learn how to work with this. This is sort of a yeast kind of a substitute, correct?
Well, no, it's more of a substitute for actual gluten, because gluten is what binds, gluten is the protein found in wheat, so it's what binds it to help bind it together, whereas in gluten-free baking, you don't have that. So that's what where this comes in. This helps keep it together a little bit more. If you were to omit it, often you would get something crumbly or like something that doesn't might just fall apart when you eat it. As opposed to if you were including it.
Now, there's all kinds of flours that I think are fascinating to be aware of. There's amaranth flour, there's arrowroot starch, there's buckwheat flour, chestnut flour, chickpea flour, coconut flour I'm familiar with, corn flour, I hadn't heard of corn flour, cornmeal I'm very familiar with, you've got cornstarch, quinoa flour, potato flour I've heard of, nut flour, rice flour, sorghum, tapioca, teff flour. I had never heard of teff flour. Where is teff flour from?
Teff is a grain that comes from Ethiopia, and it's actually the world's smallest grain. I eat it often as a grain as well, and it has a bit of a nutty taste. It's a dark brown. You can buy it in light colors, but like in an ivory teff, but well, available to me, I can only find the regular one. And it gives a bit of an earthy flavor, a bit of a nutty flavor. I really like it for breads and stuff, and I often use it in things that are have that dark taste, like a gingerbread or a chocolate. It goes well in that as well.
Now, you've got all of these different flours. Coconut flour has a very, very light, pleasant flavor to it. But when you're using these flours, you make a point in this cookbook, because we're talking about food, that you have to be aware that you can't just use a cup is not a cup is not a cup, depending on the flour you use. How did you find this out? I mean, what is it, absorption rate? What makes it so different between these flours?
Well, they all have their different properties, like in terms of macronutrients, like protein and carbohydrates and fiber, so which would all affect the absorption rate and how, you know, how dense something will be and how well it will stay together and the texture of it. So each of them have a bit of a property that when you mix them together, they give a property that's similar to wheat flour and it acts similarly to it. My biggest thing was a bit of trial and error. Before I started making my own flour mixes, I had liked an all-purpose mix by Bob's Red Mill, and the main ingredient in it was sorghum flour, and I didn't like rice flour. I never liked it, so I never started even trying to use it, and whenever I had tried anything with rice flour, I found it really gritty, and the texture was off. Like, it tasted gluten-free. It tasted special and different. So knowing that the Bob's Red Mill one used sorghum flour as a base, I sort of started using that as all of my base for all my mixes. And then depending on what I was making, I would add some quinoa or teff flour, usually because they're a high protein flour, so it would add structure. And then I would add a bit of arrowroot or tapioca, which adds a bit of moisture and a bit of lightness to it to give it that so something wasn't so heavy. And it gives bread, tapioca flour gives bread that bit of chew that we look for, that's like mm-hmm. in pizza crust and stuff. So I just sort of experimented with a lot of the different ones to try to find what I really liked, as well as I tried to keep other higher allergen ones like chickpea or different legume flours to a minimum, because I know that a lot of people can't have those, or potato because it's a nightshade, and I know that some people stay away from nightshade. So I wanted to try to work it for everybody to be able to have them, and then I offer a lot of tips on how to substitute them too. So if, for example, some people don't really love quinoa flour because they find it a bit of a strong taste and a strong smell. So if they don't like that, then, and that isn't a recipe, they can experiment using maybe chickpea flour instead, because it's similar.
Now, we've got some wonderful recipes in here. And you even have substitutes in here so that people, if they're allergic to eggs, which I can remember an experience being in a very, very fine restaurant, and there was a grandmother with her grandson, and she apparently he had allergies, and she was questioning the server and this type of thing. And then when it came to the pasta, unknown to her, it was a pasta that had egg in it, and he was seriously allergic to eggs. And so they had to leave. They didn't have a pasta that did not have an egg base of some type in it, or an ingredient of egg in it. And also it was with a salad dressing. And she said, oh, my dear. So the people at the restaurant were very, very gracious, because he had almost an immediate reaction to it. So it really is something that you never know. You have to ask if you're fixing things for people, if there are sensitivities that they have, if you're going to have company. But what I like about your cookbook is that if you don't want to use eggs, you can, you know, use warm water with flax seeds. You've got all kinds of things. Pureed fruit, such as applesauce, bananas, or pumpkin. I mean, this is something that you can, and you say how you can do or what you can use dependent on what recipe. Like for brownies, people might be able to use tofu if that's something they're comfortable with. If they didn't want to use tofu, then maybe they could use pureed fruit. So you go into a lot of very special detail, which I think really helps people. Now let's talk about some recipes, because the first one in your book is chocolate chip banana bread. And I don't know about anybody else, but if you hear that, it's like, oh my goodness, wouldn't that just be fabulous? And you really did some very interesting things with this. And one of the tips that you give for this banana bread is you say when your bananas become very, very ripe, you store them in the freezer. Mm-hmm. Just put it right in there with the peel. Don't take it out of the peel. Just store it in the freezer. And when you're ready to bake, take them out about an hour before you start doing everything. They'll thaw, and you'll be able to make your banana bread whenever you want it. I thought, well, that's an interesting tip. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody freezing bananas in the skin. And I thought, why not? Very, very interesting. I wouldn't think that the skins would burst on you in the freezer, but it's
no,
a good idea.
Yeah, it's worked out. It actually, because one day I just was, you know, you sort of get sick of peeling them and putting them in a plastic bag or wrapping them, and I just thought, I'm just going to throw them in there and see. And then I realized that if I couldn't really peel them when they were still frozen. It was still, it was a little bit difficult to get the peel off while they were frozen, so you know, I waited an hour, I threw them in the sink, and I just could squish them right out, and it worked perfectly. And I thought, I'm never, ever going to do anything else again than this.
Well, that is wonderful. Well, let's give them the recipe here. Now, the oven has to be preheated to 350 degrees, and you need an 8.5 by 4.5 inch loaf pan. Now, this is so interesting, these ingredients. 3/4 cup of sorghum flour, 1/2 cup of teff flour, 1/4 cup of arrowroot starch or tapioca flour, 1 tablespoon of ground flax seeds, 1.5 teaspoons of baking soda, 1.5 teaspoons of xanthan gum, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon sea salt, 3/4 cup of non-dairy, remember these are recipes, gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free, 3/4 cup of non-dairy chocolate chips, 3 very ripe medium bananas. You want to smash them. It's going to give you about 1.5 cups of banana, 1/2 cup of agave nectar, and then 3 tablespoons of canola or coconut oil. And, of course, it needs to be liquidy. and a teaspoon of vanilla extract, and a teaspoon of cider vinegar. Now, that really surprised me. What does the cider vinegar do?
Well, cider vinegar does a few things. One, it reacts with baking soda to help give a nice rise. But also in gluten-free baking, cider vinegar adds a little bit more tenderness and a nice texture to the dough. So I tend to use it in pretty much everything other than cookies. All my cakes, it also, because it helps give it a bit more of a rise with the baking soda, it's good when you're not baking with eggs because you lack a bit of that structure and that fullness when you omit the eggs. So it sort of does double duty. It's good for gluten-free because it adds some tenderness, and it is good for the rise, which is good for vegan baking and egg-free baking.
Now, this bread is mild. This is so easy. You take your flours, your starch, your flax seeds, your ground flax seeds, your baking soda, your xanthan gum, cinnamon, and salt. You put it in a big bowl and just whisk it. It's going to just take you a few seconds to whisk it together. You then put your chocolate chips in, and you want to make sure that you stir them until they're coated with the flour, and that keeps them from sinking to the bottom. And then your bananas, your agave nectar, your oils, your vanilla extract and vinegar, you put it in a bowl and stir it until it's combined and smooth. If you want, just use a mixer and zip, zip, you've got it. And then you take and you pour that into your dry mixture. You make a batter. You stir. You don't beat, but you stir until it's nice and moistened. And then put it in your prepared pan, smooth out the top. It bakes for anywhere from 45 to 55 minutes at 350. Take a toothpick, insert it in the center of the loaf. Make sure it's coming out clean. Don't do what I did on something, and I didn't pay attention and found that the middle of a cake collapsed because it was still moist. You need to let it cool for about 10 minutes and let it cool completely before slicing. I mean, I don't know of anybody that wouldn't enjoy something like this.
Yeah, you know, it's really easy. I mean, and it's so versatile that I know a lot of people who have followed the guidelines in my book and made some substitutions on the flours based on what they had on hand. Mm-hmm. And I know someone else who makes the loaf often and makes it with maple syrup instead of agave nectar, which I've done myself as well. I've used chocolate chunks. I've put no chocolate at all. You can add nuts in it. I mean, it's a really good basic banana bread recipe that whatever you like in your banana bread, go for it, because it'll probably work.
Wow. Well, you've got something in here, double chocolate muffins. Just that title makes someone, if they're a chocolate person, salivate. And you've got this wonderful recipe, but you have something in your recipe I don't know that many of my listeners would know about. Perhaps they do. It was new to me. Vegan buttermilk. Now, you're a vegan. If someone used regular buttermilk, would that be a problem? But this is dairy-free, so the buttermilk, standard buttermilk, obviously is dairy, so maybe somebody wouldn't have an allergy reaction to the buttermilk. But what is this vegan buttermilk?
Well, in the book, it refers to a page, and on the page, I just explain that if you put some acid in non-dairy milk, like soy milk or almond milk or coconut milk or whatever milk you want to use, and let it sit for about 5 minutes, it becomes very curdled and similar to buttermilk. And then it does the same thing, just like when you add the apple cider vinegar, it adds some moisture and it adds tenderness, as well as it just gives that bit of a tangy flavor that we know from buttermilk. So that's that ingredient in there.
Now, I never thought. And by the way, if you want that double chocolate recipe, you're going to have to get the book, because I'm not going to share that one. It's The Allergy-Free Cook Bakes Bread. Leslie Sadowski is my guest. Okay, you've got something here with gooey maple pumpkin biscuits. I mean, this really sounds good. Any biscuit I have ever had, if you are good at biscuit making, they rise really high, and they're just absolutely light as a feather. Are these like that? I mean, are they that light?
Well, because those ones, the pumpkin ones, those tend to be a little bit heavier because of the pumpkin adding the moisture and the density that you sort of end up getting from anything pumpkin, right? Like if you're making a pumpkin bread or a pumpkin cake, they tend to be not really as light as a feather. But I do have other biscuit recipes in there that are like dinner biscuits that are a lot lighter. That one, they're not dense and heavy, but they're a little bit more hearty, those ones, because and they're nice for breakfast because they're filling. You don't want to eat 20 of them, although maybe you do. That's fine.
Now, you go into what you call yeast spritz, and you've got so many different wonderful recipes. You've even got a stuffing recipe here for cornbread and wild rice stuffing with apples and pecans. And, of course, that would have been just absolutely fabulous for it. But with the yeast breads, if you want to make gluten-free yeast breads, again, you talk about trying the different flours. And you just have some really interesting recipes like Grandma's Polish Babka. Now, that is something that definitely is going to have to rise in a draft-free environment. But is this something that was done in your family? Was this your own personal family recipe that you adapted?
Well, you know, I did look at many babka recipes, but as you probably know, or anyone who's ever had babka, it is an eggy bread. So to make it egg-free was definitely a bit of a challenge. So I tried to mimic the same flavors just with what I was using. But, I mean, I remember my grandma's babka, and I remember eating babka when I was growing up all the time. And I thought that I did a good job trying to mimic it without all the eggs. It's not exactly, because it's not an egg bread. I mean, you can't reinvent something like that completely. But it definitely is a recipe that I tried to make. I did good justice to, I felt. Some of the recipes in the book are definitely direct adaptations of family favorites. Just based on, like, you know, muffins and stuff from when I was younger, because those are a lot easier. But with yeast breads, it's so different baking gluten-free that, you know, you can sort of take the premise of it and then go from there and then build from that.
Well, I'll tell you, I know we're out of time, Lori, but your book has so much interesting information in it. The recipes really have a lot of flavor. And I think for those of you that maybe are coming into the new year and say, gee, I want to be gluten-free, I want to try this, but I hate to give up my bread. I don't want to do that. Well, you don't have to. Lori Sadowski in Canada, she has put out this wonderful book. It's called The Allergy-Free Cook Bakes Bread, Gluten-Free, Dairy-Free, Egg-Free. What's your website, Lori? Is it laurasadowski.com?
Yep, they can go there, and then that links to all my sites from there.
All right.
Laurasadowski.com.
That's LAURIESAD for Donna, OWS like Sam, KI, LoriSadowski.com. Check it out. And if you know of somebody that really is challenged, this book, this recipe book, has a lot of fabulous options. Go for it. It's a great way to start the new year. Lori, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you very much.
You have a wonderful new year. This is Donna Sebo. Go to laurasadowski.com, and we're coming back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sivo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Now, for those of you that are listening to the show for the first time, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. That's all. And then let me tell you what I perceive, and then after that you can ask me a question about anything that you like. So 888-627-6008. For those of you in the state of Washington, I want you to know on the 21st of January I'm going to be doing an appearance in Seattle at the Ascension and Delight Foundation Center, and that's at 1222 South Weller Street. It will be at 6:30, I believe it is, in the evening. I, along with a few other individuals, will be doing readings for people there, and the admission is going to be $20. And you can check in with the Ascension into Light at gmail.com for more information, or call 206-356-6356. Also, here in Washington at University Place, I am going to be teaching my second class on quantum mind. Robert Newman is joining me. Our first class that we did in November was so enthusiastically received. We're going to be doing a second one, and we are going to be very interactive. The class is limited to 25 people, so if you would like to be involved on the 28th of January in this class on Saturday, by golly, come along and join us. There's food. We have just an absolutely gorgeous environment, and I'd love to see you there. But do call my office if you want more information and you want to register for the class, because we can only have 25 students in this class. And we want to interact with all of you. And that's what we did the last class. It was fabulous. So we're going to be doing a blindfold demonstration. All the students will be involved in that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Robert's going to be talking about feng shui, the prosperity frog, all kinds of different components to attract the right things into your life. So I hope that you will get in touch with us and let us know. And again, I will be sending out an email blast. And if you didn't get my email newsletter, do let me know so I can put you on the mailing list. Just contact me either at my office, 253-582-5604, or send me an email, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's all you need to do. Okay. I think that because we're starting out a brand new year, it's so important to put our minds and our energy in the right direction. We really need to take the time to sit down and make an assessment of what we really want. And I was visiting with a friend in Oregon last month. Her name is Cindy, and she, when I was visiting, she said, "Why don't we do a vision board?" And I hadn't done one of those in a long time. I said, okay. So we were working in her office area, and she had provided, she had a whole stack of magazines and this type of thing. And we were just sitting there gabbing and cutting out, like, pictures out of magazines, which is what you do with a vision board, relative to what we were interested in having demonstrated in the new year. Well, we didn't get it all finished because we had some other things we had to give our attention to. However, I brought what I had started home with me, and I thought, this is really a good thing. Why is a vision board so important? Well, a vision board is that. You find images. You can even design them on the computer if you are of such an inclination. And you then put them up on a piece of board. Now, what happens? It's the visual that connects with the conscious mind so that the subconscious starts seeing really what you want demonstrated. And if you're like me, you can get distracted into a thousand different directions. Do you ever find yourself starting on one thing and then all of a sudden something else comes in, usurps your time, and then you go, oh my goodness, 4 or 5 days later, I wish I would have followed through and finished what I had started. Well, you get interrupted. I think we can all relate to that. Well, there's a magic with a vision board because you're actually seeing what you're putting down and you're thinking as you're choosing to cut out from a magazine whatever you want. Let me share with you something that I and my husband did many years ago for an automobile. Now, we were aware of this process, and we were newly married. We didn't have very much money, just like so many young couples when they start out, you just don't have a whole bunch of funds. Well, we decided we wanted to have a new car, and that was fine. What we did, we went around the various car dealerships checking out different cars. What did we like? What didn't we like? Well, at the time, there was this particular car, and it was considered a luxury vehicle. We had seen it, and we had just fallen in love with it. It was just a beautiful, beautiful car. And it had all of the attributes. My husband wanted a sunroof, but it just was a first-class car. Well, we weren't in any situation financially to be able to afford the car. And there were some extenuating circumstances. Well, we went into this one car showroom. And the gentleman who was the salesperson, he said, if you really like this car, why don't you take this flyer? He said, I know you've got some things that you're taking care of economically that have to be dealt with. So he said, why don't you just take my car, take along the brochure on the car, put it up where you can see it, and give me a call when you're ready. Well, my husband and I were just amazed because most of the time car salesmen are pretty, you know, heavy duty and trying to get this sold to you. And boy, they're going to give you this deal, that deal, the other deal. The guy, we were honest with him. He was honest with us. He said, just give me a call when you're ready. Because this car was going to have to be put on order. Well, as it turned out, it was a year. We had to take care of certain responsibilities that we had. But this guy, his name was Bill. He was so nice. We went by the car dealership again, making sure this is what we wanted because it was a huge financial commitment for us. He was very gracious, wasn't pushy at all. Said, how are you doing? We brought him up to date. By golly, the next thing we know, he said, well, take a picture of the car and just put it up. Well, that's what we had been doing. So we would look at the car, and we didn't worry about how we were going to get it. We just knew that that was the automobile we wanted to get. Well, it took us over a year. We were finally in a positioning where we would be able to manage the car payment, and we were going to be able to go in and order it. And he saw us. He said, nice to see you back. And we said, yes, this is what we want to do. We finally had gotten to a point where we could order the car. Now, this man very wisely had said, take the flyer, take the brochure, put it up where you can look at it. If this is the right car for you, I'll see you back here. And he did. It was over a year later, but we saw him again. And we wouldn't deal with any other salesperson because this man was so gracious with us. The reason I'm sharing that story with you is that we were able to get what we wanted. We kept the vision in front of us. And we had interaction with someone who had integrity and worked out a wonderful, wonderful financial arrangement for us. This man really was a person of integrity. He was absolutely the opposite of the typical car salesman image. He was the perfect personification of a good salesperson. And we had this beautiful automobile that we drove for a number of years. And every time we got in the car, we felt like we were worth $1 million. Now, the reality was we had to plan, we had to prepare, but we kept that image in front of us. We saw the car, and when we got it, that was the first car, really, that I'd ever had that was of that quality and that level, then it was wonderful. It was a marvelous, marvelous vehicle. This is something we can do with just about anything in life. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to manifest for you day after tomorrow. Maybe you have some things just like my husband and I did many years ago. You have responsibilities you have to take care of, but you never lose the vision. Let me share with you another quick story. I was doing a radio show. A dream of mine has always been to go with my husband to Vienna and to dance in a beautiful ballroom, a waltz. Now, this had been a dream of mine, and I was doing a radio show here in the state of Washington, and I was talking about manifesting things and that I had a dream about dancing a waltz in Vienna and in a beautiful ballroom. Well, the result that came out of my making that announcement over the air was phenomenal. I end up getting a card from one of my listeners, and she had this beautiful, beautiful handwriting, and she said, Donna, I heard what you have had in desire to be participating in a beautiful ballroom with Vienna, you know, being in Vienna and all of this. Unknown to me, there was an event that was put on in Bellevue, Washington, and it was A Night in Vienna. That was the title of it. She gifted me and my husband tickets to this event, and it was a formal ball. It was put on annually with the Bellevue Symphony Orchestra, and it was nothing but dancing, and the whole environment, the menu, everything was totally with the theme of Vienna. It was one of the most thrilling manifestations I've ever had in my life. And I thought, I would never in a million years have dreamed that I could have had that gifted to me. So you don't know how the universe is going to bring into your space something that is going to be a manifestation for you, and it's going to enrich your life in a very, very special way. This woman gifted this to me. She said, I cannot send you to Vienna, but I'll give you the next best thing. Well, my goodness, it was just thrilling, absolutely thrilling. So when you're starting off in the new year, why not get a vision board? If you want, get a piece of poster board. Make it any color you want. It doesn't have to be white and be yellow, green. You can go to the dollar store and pick up one. And you can make it big or you can make it small, whatever's your preference. And then I want you to act like a child. I want you to get as many magazines as you can, all kinds of magazines, whether it's a National Geographic or it's a woman's magazine, a cooking magazine, a money magazine. I don't care. But I want you to really think about what you want. And maybe you want a brand new car. Maybe there is something that you need, like a brand new printer or a new computer. You want a laptop. Why don't you put out or design it, even on your computer? Print it out, cut it out, and put it up on your vision board and look at it. It really makes a difference. I know of a woman. Well, I'll tell you her story when I come back. We're going to take a break. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprisin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprisin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprisin, non-toxic, safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Oh, hi. This is Donna. 888-627-6008. Quick like a bunny. I want to tell you guys, tomorrow we're going to have car care for the clueless. Now, the advisor on this is a gal, Pamela Oakes. This book is fabulous because it's not a real big book. And she, as a professional mechanic, knows how to take care of cars, and boy, does she give good information. So we're going to be talking with her tomorrow. On Thursday, we're going to have a Best of Donna, and because I am going to be engaged in some activities on Thursday, won't be able to do the show. And then Friday, we've got Greg Dobbs, Life in the Wrong Lane. This book is a gripper, and the title is misleading in a way because you may think about somebody going down the dark and narrow and bad direction in life. Oh, no. This is about the real-life experiences of a journalist that worked for ABC for years, overseas, worked in environments like in Africa, in Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Europe. This guy has seen a lot of stuff. His book is super. So we're going to be talking about some real-life happenings with a real-life journalist, Greg Dobbs. So we've got some great stuff this week. I hope that you will tell your friends and join us. Now, before we went on break, I started to tell you about a woman that I knew that did a vision board. So let me finish this because I've got some other things I wanted to share with you. But one of the things that this woman did, she didn't have much of anything. She was really in dire financial straits. She decided she was going to cut out pictures of what she really wanted. Now, she didn't do a vision board. She did a vision book. She created a notebook, and she put her pictures, and she would have what she was really wanting. She'd write it out around the picture, and she put it in plastic sheets so that she could look at it. Now, this gal hardly had anything financially. She really didn't have much at all. But she would just comfort herself with what she was wanting to demonstrate in her life. And she had some friends that when they found out what she had done, they laughed at her. They thought, oh, this is just too much. You're just out in space somewhere. This is so silly. Because she tried to say, this is what I'm doing, because if I look at it, then I can feel it inside of me. Well, they thought she was nuts. That woman made a habit of going through her book and just giving herself maybe 10 or 15 minutes in the evening, and she would go and she'd think about it and what she would do if she was able to have certain things in her life, and she just enjoyed the mental journey she would take with all the things, and then every once in a while she'd find something, she'd say, oh, I'd like that, and then she'd put it in. Within 5 years, that woman had everything she had put in that book. You see, there is something in the universe that will say, oh, is this really what you want? Okay, we'll manifest it. But I have to chuckle because I think of someone that really wanted a particular Mercedes and did not put in their specifics like, I do want the car to be able to run. She ended up getting a vehicle that didn't run. She got the Mercedes she wanted, but it would have cost her a small fortune to get it up and running, which is what she didn't want. It was actually gifted to her. So that's not what she'd wanted. So when you are looking at things, you want to look and think about how is it, if you want something, let's say you want a brand new home. Let's just use that. It's a big expense. Well, why not add in that when you have this home, you want to be in a position financially to be able to afford that home. You want to be able to live in that home in the way and manner that is going to be comfortable for you. You don't want to end up with something that maybe is a shell of a house that it's been flooded or something like this, and you go, oh, whoopee, what am I going to do with this? You don't want that. You want to manifest the highest and the best for yourself. So keep that in mind. Keep it in mind. If you're wanting to get a job and you're looking for a certain kind of work, say, I really can see myself getting the job. Something you can do is every day start preparing yourself, get dressed, don't walk around in your pajamas if you're out of work. Put yourself into an environment so mentally you're prepared. If you got a call, boom, you'd be out that door, ready for a resume. There's a man I knew of. His name was Reverend Ike down in California many years ago. Oh, he was just a hoot. I just love this guy. And Reverend Ike would say to the women in his congregations, he would say, ladies, you make sure you get the rollers out of your hair, get the slippers off your feet, and you don't step outside your front door unless you are dressed. And you are dressed to the nines, because he saw a lot of people that were on welfare that they would go around looking like slobs. He said, no, you have to dress for the image. You do the best with what you've got, and it really works. You dress yourself up. You look nice. You are going to convey something to someone that says, I want to hire you. Remember, you want to be able to reflect to the universe that you're ready for that opportunity. It pays to make the effort. This is Donna Siebel. I know we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, we're talking cards. This lady knows her stuff. Hope you can join us. Pamela Oakes is going to be my guest. She's dynamite. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Enjoy your day or evening, wherever you might be on this wonderful planet, and know that your light, who you are, shines on other people, and you do make a difference. And I'm so glad you joined me. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.